Praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. You know, some of you may not know, but my great uncle, my grandfather's brother, is actually a bishop in the Catholic Church. That's right. he's in the Kiambu Diocese, and he's had me there to preach a few times in a few funerals. There's no better harvest ground for souls. Hallelujah. And so we've got a lot of Catholics in our family. So praise the Lord for the Catholic brothers and sisters in this place. May God bless you richly. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Father, we thank you for this afternoon. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because of what you have begun to do in this place. How many of you are so blessed throughout this convention? I am blessed. Amen. I am so blessed. I'm so blessed. I'm so happy to be here. And amen. Double blessing. Amen. In Jesus' name. And this is, I think, my last session, but I'll still be around. Praise the Lord till we roll the carpet and go home. And I just was praying and asking the Lord, Lord, what should I speak about today? What should I share for my last session? And so I just. And the Lord began to speak to me about His glory, about His presence, and just to minister and speak to you about His glory and His presence. You know, I get asked a lot of questions by a lot of people. Some people have asked me, why do people fall out under the power of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever wondered that? You know, it's because of the glory. I don't know any other reason. Because the glory of God, the word glory means the kabod of God, which means heavy or weighty. And God's presence is heavy, it's weighty. If you were standing somewhere and I was on top maybe of a truck, standing on top of a ute, and I had a big sack of potatoes and I threw the sack of potatoes on you, most likely you would go on the floor because of the weight. And that's what the glory of God is like. Sometimes when the glory of God falls, you know, depending on how we're receptive, sometimes, you know, that's why, you know, it's just so heavy. The kabod of God, the glory of God, the presence of God. And throughout scripture, you see it happening. Somebody else asked me, why do you blow on people, Jimmy? You know, I do what I see my Father in heaven do. Amen. You see, in the Bible, there's two times where God actually blew on mankind. The first time when God created man, he took the soil from the ground and he formed man, but he was a dead body. He didn't have any life in him. And so the Bible says, and God breathed into him and he became a living soul. That word breathed is the word pneuma, which means life or breath, the breath, the life-giving breath of God. But because of sin, man fell. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they sinned. God needed to breathe upon them again. And so we see in the Gospels when Jesus was actually walking on the earth and with his disciples, at one stage, I don't have the reference with me, but it's in the Bible, trust me. He lined his disciples up and the Bible says he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." How many of you ever read that? He breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Because you see, because of the sin in their life, they had died spiritually. And so twice we see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, just the start of the New Testament and the start of the Old Testament, God breathing upon his people twice. And both times it was to produce a newness of life, to breathe life, the life-giving Spirit of God back into life. And so that's what I did. I saw Jesus do it. I saw the Father do it. It, and I do what I see my Father do, and I see the results of it. Amen. God is just releasing his life into people, releasing his presence into people, releasing his glory into people, and it's such a blessing. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 60, the Bible says, "Arise, arise and shine, for your light has come. He says to arise, to arise, to arise, to arise, to arise. And I want you to know that God has called us to arise. Amen. Somebody say, I have been called by God to arise. I'm an audience participation preacher. Amen. Hallelujah. You've been called by God to arise. Somebody asked me, how can I see miracles in my life? How can I see miracles in my ministry? And I say to them the same way that they saw miracles in the book of Acts. Because the only reason they wrote the book of Acts was because they acted. You see, the reason why so many of us, we're not seeing any book things that we see in the book of Acts is because we are not acting. We are not active. We are not moving. We're not doing anything. And the Lord said to me, I want you to speak and communicate to my people this afternoon and tell them it is time for them to begin to arise. Because you see, there is a glory that is on the inside of them. There is a glory. There is a presence of God that is on the inside of them. And it is only as they arise that that glory begins to come out. Amen. It's just like the sun. The sun is there, but until it arises from the east, the land still remains dark. You know, it's, you know, the sun is there. It's not that it's disappeared. It's still there, but it has not arisen in the morning. But in the morning, when the sun begins to rise, the rays of light begin to shine out, and guess what? The darkness begins to flee. And God said, it's time for my people to rise up. It's time for my people to rise up. And when they begin to rise, the glory of the Lord will rise upon them. Somebody say the glory.
The glory.
Somebody say the glory.
The glory.
Now, in all my life, I've only seen the glory of God once. Once. And that was in Geelong, actually, in an FGB convention. We were worshiping the Lord, and we had tables, and the man of God was up on stage with his keyboard, and he was worshiping the Lord, and we were having a wonderful time of worship, and my eyes were closed, and as I was just worshiping the Lord, while the worship was going on, I opened my eyes and I couldn't see the minister. I couldn't see the guy singing on the platform. And there was this mist. There was this like fog. Some of you this morning, if you looked up on the hill behind here, you probably saw the mist up on the hill, the fog up on the hill. And you could see the trees, but not very clearly because of the mist. And that's what it was like. I could just see his outline in the middle. And I say to the person that was sitting next to me, do we have a smoke machine in the room? But I know FGB doesn't have smoke machines in their conventions. Amen. But I kept on blinking my eyes because I thought there was something wrong with my eyes. And the more I blinked, the more I couldn't see. And there was this mist. And I thought there must be a fire somewhere. But I looked at everyone. They were worshiping the Lord. And nobody was paying any attention to what was going on. I honestly thought in any moment we're going to have to leave the building because I was sure there must be fire somewhere. But I couldn't smell any smoke or any fire. And so I just kept on worshiping the Lord. And that was the first time I actually saw the glory of God. Once, first and the only time. But many times I have seen the effects of the glory of God. I've seen the effects of the presence of the Lord. I've seen the presence of God. And so the effects of it, when you see sometimes him moving over people. I remember the first time I ever got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I was coming from somewhere. I just finished school and I was going home. And actually, this is the first time actually the Lord started to anoint me mightily. And what happened, I drove past this huge crusade in Nairobi, just in this huge field. And so I decided I'm going to go and listen to what the evangelist was saying and what he was preaching. And so I stopped the first day and listened to the message, and I was very blessed. And you know, in Africa, they don't do meetings like we do in the West. In the West, we do 2-day meetings, 3-day meetings. And that's why, you know, it's a little bit like what Michael does in America when the glory of God comes. When they do crusades in Africa, they run those crusades, at least some of the local evangelists, until there is a breakthrough in the city, until the jails are emptied and the bars are emptied, until the brothels are closed down. And so this crusade was on its sixth week, open air crusade, on its sixth week, and they were still going. And so I got off and I stood there in the field. There was a few thousand people there. And I remember the evangelist was up on stage and after he finished preaching, he lifted up his hand. He said, the power of God is going to fall in this place. And he began to pray. He began to pray and he began to release the presence of God. And he just started yelling, receive. And when he started yelling, receive, he fell off the stage. And he fell on the people that were in front there because the glory of God had come down in the meeting. But the moment he hit the ground and hit the people that had come up to the altar, and there was a couple of thousand people in there, the moment he fell, wherever he fell, it was like a ripple effect. The power of God began to go out. And it was like dominoes. I don't know if you've ever seen it. They were falling like dominoes. And I remember somewhere in the middle, probably 1,000, 2,000 people between me and them. And I thought to myself, nah, it's not going to get here. It's probably going to stop around there. And I saw them falling and falling, and they kept on coming. And I thought, maybe I need to leave this place quickly. I remember, I turned around, but it was so many people, and I tried to turn to flee for my life from the invisible tsunami that was coming. And I don't remember anything else, because when I woke up, my foot was on top of this lady and my head was on somebody's chest, and I was praying in tongues, and everybody was praying in tongues everywhere. And the presence of God had actually jumped over a highway, three-lane highway, three-lane dual carriageway, and jumped over that. I went into the shops across the street. There were some people in their kiosks all slain in the spirit, shopping with their shopping trolleys and talking in tongues. Those people up on the trees were falling off. When this guy preaches, you better not be sitting on top of trees. Hallelujah. I remember him warning people to get off the trees. I don't know. Some would listen and they actually got off by those people falling off trees. And the power of God. And I remember after that, I went home and I could still hear that man of God, that precious man of God, casting out demons at midnight. I had my head on my pillow going to sleep, and I could still hear him with these big loudspeakers, in the name of Jesus, come out. And he used to put the microphone on those guys manifesting, and you'll hear them screaming, ah! You know, I'll be sleeping. I'm like, this guy's still going on. It's midnight. But there was such a revival in that area. People came to Christ from every direction. People were born again. This man of God was actually banned from using public transport because, true story, they wouldn't let him get on any public transport. He grew up, some of you who have ever been to Nairobi, he was actually in Kibera slums. That's where God picked him. He was so poor that his one coat that he used to preach was what was used as a family towel to dry the little kids after they took a bath. That's how poor he was. And so whenever he got into a bus, you know, every time he would step into the bus, demons would start manifesting everywhere. People will start falling out under the power, and he did what he could do. He will start to cast out the demons out of the people in the buses, and the driver will have to pull over and try and say what is going on, and there will be people screaming in the aisle and others coming out through the windows every single morning on his way to work, because he used to work in the industrial area. He'll get on the bus and people will start screaming the moment he walked in there. They all start getting so, sometimes the bus driver couldn't drive, and so he would have to get off. He actually bought a bicycle to get to work after that. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The glory of God. God has called us to be Ark of the Covenant. You remember the Ark of the Covenant? In the Old Testament, you know, In the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant was the vehicle that God used to transport His glory. But in the New Testament, He wants us to be the Arks of the Covenant, that we are to be carriers of His glory, to be carriers of His presence. Amen? To be carriers of His anointing. That's what He wants. He wants us to be carriers of His anointing. You know, sometimes I've seen when the anointing of God is upon me, even in some meetings where, you know, I've tried to make my way. Like last night, I was drunk in the spirit. I staggered all the way nearly to my room. I was just filled with the Holy Ghost. But I've seen people even in the elevator who had nothing to do with the convention start grabbing the railing, you know, when they walked in there. It's because of the glory of God. God has called us to be carriers of the presence of Jehovah. He's called us to be carriers of the glory of God. And so He says here, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. When we begin to arise, the glory of the Lord will begin to rise upon us. And it says in verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness its people. But that is not something to cry about. That is not something, that is not an excuse for not doing evangelism. That is not an excuse for not reaching out for souls. That is actually a perfect and a good excuse to actually begin to reach out for souls. The Bible says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. The Lord will arise over you. In other words, the greatest, I said to some people when I was in Africa, I remember preaching in this church, and because this young man came to me and he said, you know, I've gone everywhere, I'm quitting the ministry because I face rejection everywhere I go. And I said to him, listen, when you face rejection, that is actually the number one qualification for ministry. Because I said to him, the number one qualification to become a cornerstone in the kingdom of God is rejection. Because the Bible says the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Hallelujah. So the qualification to becoming a cornerstone is to have some rejection in your life. Amen. And so I said to them, don't worry if you are rejected, because God is the one who qualifies you. God calls you and God qualifies you. Not man, God qualifies you. And so I say to them, when you see darkness covering the earth and deep darkness the people, this is the time for you to arise. And when you begin to arise during this time, this is when you shall actually see the miracles, signs and wonders like you have never seen before. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, last year I went to Kenya for the first time in about 5-6 years since the Lord brought me to Australia. And when I went to Kenya for about 6 weeks, I had 6 weeks worth of crusades and revival meetings. And I saw the Lord do mighty things. Amen. And for those 6 weeks, I did some pastors' conferences and some open-air crusades all over Nairobi and in the middle of nowhere, in the jungle, in the bush. And when I did one of those pastors' conferences, after the conference, as usually, you know, when the men and women of God sit together, you know, after the meeting and to have a meal. And so I sat down with these men of God to have a meal with them. And we began to talk. We began to just have a discussion. And as we were having this discussion, just sharing testimonies and trading testimonies, I say to them, you know, what has the Lord done? And these are actually bishops in the church and pastors of very large churches. Because you see, in Africa, a 3,000 member church, that is a small church. If you have 1,000 people, 2,000 people in your church, that's a small church. When you have about 10,000, 15,000, that is medium-sized church. If you've got 40, 50, 60, 100,000, now that is a mega church. Praise the Lord Jesus. Because of the revival that happened. Now, there's some churches which are coming up. But during that time, when I was there back in the early 90s, the revival hit and we had such explosive growth of the power of God. And churches were growing everywhere. And so, you know, I sat down with these bishops and we were having our meal and we were just having really nice godly conversation. And you know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that when you sit with great men, if you're given to much appetite, you need to put the knife to your throat. Amen. And so what that means for me is that when you sit with this kind of men of God, don't be too quick to speak, but be twice as quick to listen. Amen. And so I decided I'm not going to say much because they actually wanted to know how is Australia and share with us testimonies of what God is doing in Australia. But I will say to them, I want to hear what God is doing in Africa. What has God been doing in this nation and through your ministry? And so, you know, the Bible says, because you see, you've got 2 ears and 1 mouth, and so you need to listen twice as much as you speak. And so I decided I'm going to just listen to this man of God and listen to what they're saying. And so one man of God began to share testimony with us on the table, and he said something that is so powerful, and I relate it to verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. You see, one of the greatest differences between the church in Africa and the church in the West is that the church in the West has got options, and the church in Africa does not have options. Somebody said to me, why is it that there's so many miracles in Africa? And I said, because these guys have no options. You have no options. Here we've got options. There they don't have any options. The only option they have is to trust God for a miracle. Amen. And so they began to share with me, and you know, it's third world country, finances is always a problem with ministries there. And I know this because in Africa, the first year of ministry, I did about 300 meetings, and my total offering for about 280 to 300 meetings in that first year of ministry was about 300 shillings, which is about $1 is about 70 shillings. So about $3 or $4. Total offering for one entire year. That's true. That was hard. Because they will bring you eggs. They will bring you mangoes. They will bring you. One person nearly brought me chickens. But I said, I can't carry chickens back home with me. So I blessed them back with their chickens. Amen. You know, they'll bring you fruit. They'll bring you stuff instead of, you know, finances. And so, you know, it's difficult there sometimes to be in full-time ministry. And so when you hear somebody's in full-time ministry, that is a man that is actually walking by faith. And when I say walking by faith, I'm not talking about how we walk by faith in the West. I'm talking about walking by faith. You don't know what's coming from where. And so this man of God said to me, while he was telling us on the table about God speaking to him, he said to him, I want you to go from the capital and go to this other town, and I want you to go and preach the gospel there. And he said to the Lord, Lord, I don't have any money. I don't have any money to get from this place to that place to preach the gospel. And so, you know, he said, the Lord didn't even speak with him, but you know, he knew better. He knew he had to obey. And so on the day that the Lord said to go and deliver the message, he got himself ready, packed his bags, got everything ready, went to the bus stop, and all through his journey to the bus stop, he was hoping he'll bump into somebody who will give him a Holy Ghost handshake. Those of you who don't know what a Holy Ghost handshake is, a handshake with some dollars in there, you know, thank you, Jesus, thank you, brother, you know, with some money in there. No, he didn't meet anybody. He didn't meet anybody. And so he got to the bus stop, and you know, in Africa, it's different from Australia or New Zealand. In this part of the world, if you're going to travel by bus from one area to another, you buy the ticket first, and then after you get your ticket, then you go into the bus. But in Africa, you just show up, get into the bus, you know, first come, first serve, you just get in the bus. And while the bus is going, the bus conductor gets up and he starts walking around collecting the fare. And so that's what they were doing. So he got into the bus by faith, not a single cent in his pocket. And he got in there, and so... as the vehicle started leaving the city, you know, and you know, there's wild animals between the cities, just the jungle, you know, there's lions, I don't know what, you don't have any snakes or bad things that can kill you in New Zealand, but in Africa, we are not on top of the food chain, we human beings are down there, Somebody said to me, what do you call people who go running in the morning? You know, we call them breakfast. If you are a tourist in a tourist lodge, don't go running in the morning. One time I got up in the morning, opened the door, there was a leopard there. Quickly shut the door in Jesus' name. We were out in the middle of the forest in a game reserve somewhere. But that's what we call it, you know. So you don't want to get off the bus before you get to your stop. Because sometimes the highways go through the Savo National Park and it goes through the middle of nowhere. So you don't want to be hitchhiking in those sort of places. And so this bus was going, and the bus conductor started collecting the, the bus fare, from the front to the back, and he was working his way to the back. And when he got to where the pastor was sitting, he sort of jumped him. He didn't ask him for his fare, and he jumped him, and he kept on collecting the fare right up to the back. And this pastor was so excited. He said, praise the Lord Jesus. He has covered me. You know, he who abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God is hiding me. The bus conductor can't see me. I am invisible in Jesus' name. He was proclaiming every scripture, and you know, the bus conductor got to the back, turned around, was coming back, and he looked at him and he said to him, I don't think you've paid. Hallelujah. He said, I don't think you paid. And so he got his best preaching voice. He said, you know, I'm a man of God on a mission. And God has spoken to me to go from Nairobi to go to that city to preach the gospel and to tell them about the goodness of God. And this man got mad. This bus conductor got mad. He said to him, you better give me my money right now. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care what God told you. I don't believe in that stuff. You better give me my money now. And this man of God was trying, you know, I don't have any money on me, but brother, you know, he was trying every way to get out of it. And this bus conductor was getting agitated, and he started getting all turning colors. You know, Africans, we had the same color all through. But praise the Lord. We are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when an African turns color, you're in trouble. Amen. Praise Jesus. And he started turning colors, and he took off his coat, and he started telling this pastor, because of people like you, our business is not doing well. You people climb on our buses and you think you can just run. You go ride for nothing. He started taking off his coat, you know, and the people in the bus say to him, pastor, you better give him his money. This guy's a big man. He will punch you out. You better give him his money. And he started rolling his sleeve. You know, we will have to teach you a lesson. You better give me my money now. Started rolling his sleeve. He said to the driver, you pull over right here. Stop the bus, pull over. And so he started pulling over, stopped the bus, pulled over in the middle of nowhere. And he grabbed the pastor and pretty much took him to the door with all his gear and threw him out of the bus. And he jumped off the bus with him. And he said, not only will I throw you out of the bus, but I'm going to leave you with two or three black eyes. He wanted to teach him a lesson so he'll have to learn his lesson. And so, you know, everybody in the bus wants to see a fight. People on this side have now moved to this side of the bus. Everyone's head is out the window looking to see this. And now yelling at him, you better pay the man, pay the man, pay the man. You know, and he's over there. And so this man, this bus conductor, you know, he's starting to get ready, you know, I'm going to punch this pastor out. And so the pastor decides to do what every one of us who got bullied in school did. You know, you remember what, when those of you that got bullied in school and had to fight, you know, you scoop down and you take a handful of dirt. And so that you can throw it in the eyes of your opponent and blind them and then punch him out and then run for it. And so this pastor bent over and took a handful of dirt in his hands. And he said, no, you're not going to punch me out. He had a handful of dirt. And so, you know, this bus conductor was getting ready now to punch him out. And as he was about to punch him out, the pastor, you know, lifted up his hands. And when he was about to be punched, he threw the dirt. He said, in the name of Jesus. And when he threw the dart from the point where the dart left his hands I don't know what happened, but the moment he left his hands, the dirt turned into brand new 1,000 shilling notes right in the air and hit the bus conductor. Hallelujah! It turned into notes and it felt money fell all over the place. God turned the dirt into money. And the bus conductor saw that, he totally lost it, jumped into the bus, ran right in the bus, ran all the way to the back seat, and the pastor collected the money and he was right behind him. Take your money, here's your money. And the bus conductor said, no, you can keep your money. Hallelujah. He said, you keep it. I don't want any of it. And because everybody had their head stuck out the window looking at the fight, they all saw what happened. So the pastor stood up. He said, let me tell you what just happened. And he preached the gospel to the bus. And he said, if you want to receive Jesus, get down on your knees and give your life to Jesus. The driver got out of his seat. Everybody slipped down and got off the bus. And they all knelt down at the side of the road. And he led around 50 passengers to Jesus Christ in that one trip. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And to think they wanted me to share with them testimonies of Australia. I didn't even want to say nothing after I heard that one. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And I sat there and I said, truly, these men of God, they don't have much, but they have learned to understand about how to rise. Because the Bible says, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's about time for sinners, when they look at us, they need to see the glory of God. It is time for them, when they come and look at us, they don't need to see a poor, broke, busted, and disgusted Christian who's given up on life. They need to see the glory of the Lord upon us. Hallelujah. They need to see us as the answer and not the problem. They need to see us as the solution and not the issue. I came to speak to some people. If you will begin to arise and shine, you'll begin to see that the light, your light, your light, your light will come and the glory of the Lord will be risen upon you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. New Zealand, it is time for us to arise. 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 Hallelujah. I remember listening to this man of God and I was so challenged. And because I was challenged, that's why I'm sharing these things with you. Because I want you to be challenged. I want you to see beyond what you have seen. I want you to look and see beyond where you have been. One of the men of God, as I sat in that table, his name is Pastor Richard. He actually was interviewed by Sid Roth. How many of you know who Sid Roth is? It's supernatural. And this guy, Pastor Richard, he began to share a testimony. Pastor Richard is a crazy Christian. If you think I'm crazy, you haven't seen crazy yet. Hallelujah. This man is he's on fire for God. I'm telling you, one time he was crossing the street, you know, he was on a pedestrian crossing, the zebra crossing, and as he was crossing the street, his name was actually Gilbert. I think it was Gilbert or one of the pastors, I can't remember his name, but he was crossing a pedestrian, you know, the pedestrian crossing, and he was, you know, they had a lot, you know, there was a lot of people during peak hours, and there was a lot of people on that side wanted to cross the road on this side, and he was crossing going on that side, and as he was crossing the street, you know, and the pedestrian crossing, you know, he's so full of the Holy Ghost, so full of the Spirit, and every so often, you know, he just yells, glory to God, just for no reason. He'll be sitting there, you know, having his coffee. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, he's always like that. And as he was crossing a pedestrian, crossing right in the middle of it before he got to the other side, he said, glory to God. And everybody fell out under the power. People got slain who are going to walk with their briefcases. Don't even know the Lord or nothing. And do you know, there was somebody with a camera there and they took a picture, and there was a big traffic jam because those guys were down there close up the street, and somebody took a picture and it was actually in the front page of the newspaper in Kenya. So this is a crazy man. Amen. And Pastor Richard, God said to him, God spoke to him in a vision, said to him, I want you to go to Paris next week. And I want you to go and preach to them and give them this word. And he gave him the name of the pastor and the name of the church. He said, I want you to go and preach this word. Now, this guy doesn't have a passport. Now, if you try to apply for a passport in Nairobi, it takes about a month because of the system. And so he said, God, I don't have a passport. I don't have money for airfare. I don't know anybody there. I don't know. I don't have a visa. I don't even know where the embassy for France is to get a visa there. I don't know nothing, Lord, but you say to me to go to France. And so God told him when to go to France. And he waited. He applied for his passport. Nothing. He didn't have anything. But he said, by faith, I'm going to pack my bag. So he packed his bags, put them in a vehicle, and went to the airport, Jomo Kenyatta Airport. Dressed up, ready to fly to France. No passport, no visa, no ID, no air ticket, nothing. By faith. That's what I call a crazy Christian. If God said it, this is what Wigglesworth said. If God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That should be our philosophy in life. Amen? So he went up to the airport. And when he got to the airport, he started to praise the Lord. He started worshiping Jesus. And he said, God, what am I going to do? And he pulled his bag up and down and up and down. And the Lord said to him, I want you to go to the bathroom. I want you to go to the toilet. And so he pulled his luggage, went to the toilet. And the Lord said to him, I want you to go into that cubicle right there. And so he went into the cubicle and he closed the cubicle. And the Lord said to him, I want you to worship me. And so he lifted up his hands and he began to worship the Lord. Oh, Jesus, I worship you. Lord, I worship you. Riba Shanda Rabobosha, he prayed in tongues. He worshiped the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, until he felt the anointing of God lift up from him. And then he said, after he felt the anointing of God lift up from him, he grabbed his bags, opened the cubicle, and when he walked out of the toilet, he was in the airport in Paris, France. Airport in Paris, France. My God. I don't know how God got him from the airport in Kenya to Paris, France, in the airport. And he went down the escalator, Shikando, Rababa, Shete, Rikando, Sete. And the pastor where he was preaching was waiting for him because God told him, go wait in the airport. There's a man of God coming. And he went and delivered his word. You can find it in the Bible. You know, Holy Ghost Airways. Amen. Remember Philip the evangelist, itinerant preacher, two appointments in two different places nearly at the same time. He baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. The Bible says he put him in the water. You know, he was actually running beside the chariot, and he had the eunuch, you know, reading from the scripture in Isaiah about Jesus, but he didn't know who it was. And he jumped up and he preached to him. And when they came to a place where there was some water, he stopped and he jumped down and he said to him, we will baptize you. And he took him and he put him in the water and he brought him up. And you know, when you get ducked in the water and you get brought up, you got water all over your face and your eyes. And by the moment the guy finished cleaning the water out of his eyes and opened his eyes, you know what? Philip the evangelist was gone. He was already in another appointment in another city preaching the gospel. New Testament. New Testament. New Testament. You can't stop God. When God gives you, let me tell you, this is your passport. He says, go ye into all the world and preach ye the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This right here, this is your passport. If you will stand on God's word and say, God, you told me, God will send you to the nations. Praise the Lord. And I've had testimonies of people going to China in the same way. Going to China, miracles like that. God sends them to China and brings them back, and they go preach the gospel there. You know, the authorities can close the doors, but the Bible tells me, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens, when he opens the door for you, I don't care what government is there, I'm telling you, God will open and he will go in and preach the gospel, and the kingdom of God is going to come. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, it's time for you to arise. 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 Father God, we thank you. Father God, we thank you. Father God, we thank you. Just lift up your hands and worship the Lord right now. The key to seeing people saved is the glory of God. Verse 3, the Bible says, the Gentiles shall come to thy light. They shall come, the Gentiles, the ones who are on the outside, they shall come to thy light. And the kings to the brightness of the horizon. That's the key to winning New Zealand to Jesus. Become a carrier of the glory of God. It says, lift up your eyes all around. Because the rest of the verses from here is just talking about the harvest. It says, if you will arise, the glory of the Lord shall be risen upon you. And then after that, it talks about the glory. It says that there shall be harvest, harvest, harvest. The harvest will come. It says, then you shall see and you shall become radiant. Your heart shall swell with joy. Joy, joy, joy. Unspeakable joy and full of glory. Joy, 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 joy. Joy, 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 joy. I can't get away from joy. Everywhere I go, every time I preach, I can't get away from it. The glory of God is turned to, the Bible says, then you shall see and become radiant and your heart shall swell with joy. Somebody say joy.
Joy.
Put your hand on your heart and say joy.
Joy.
Joy. Joy.
Joy.
Joy. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. There is joy in the house of the Lord. The days of having churches that are angry and bitter and it looks like we are passing lemons down the aisle are gone. Because when... Because the joy of the Lord is coming back. The joy of the Lord is coming back. The the joy of the Lord is coming back to the church. They're going to get mad at you for being happy. I've had people mad at me for being happy. What are you happy about? But I tell them I've got Jesus on the inside, shining on the outside. And oh, what a joy. 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 And do you know joy brings strength? It brings strength. That's what joy does. It gives you supernatural strength. When you begin to laugh, cancer will go. When you begin to laugh, diseases will leave your body. When you begin to laugh, when you become joyful, nobody wants a sad evangelist preaching to them. I don't want that kind of gospel. Amen. And some of us, we need to laugh again. Amen. Even if you don't have some teeth in the front, it's okay. Praise the Lord. You got dentures and you get on to laughing and smiling.
Hallelujah. 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 And let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. You cannot carry the glory of God and be sad. Amen. When you carry the glory of God, you will be happy. You will rejoice everywhere you go. Put your hand on your chest and say, joy, 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 joy. I've got joy in my heart. 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 I am happy. I am happy. Somebody say, I am happy. I am happy. I am happy. I am happy. And I've got joy in my heart. I've got joy in my heart. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I think I might not finish this message. Oh, I think I'm getting a bit drunk up in here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, 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 oh. I think I might need a. I need to hold on to this. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. 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 Jesus.
Is this going to help?
It's helping a little.
Is this going to help?
I think it's helping a bit.
Oh, good.
Oh, glory. I think.
It's like Moses holding up his hands.
Oh, glory.
Amen.
Glory. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord is healing you from all the pain in your heart. Brother, come. Jesus. Yeah.